This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brett Hall, number 500. Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen. Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. As we get back on schedule, welcome to the Monday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast, brought to you by our good friends over at the Innovated Companies. Special thanks to the Innovated Construction arm of that wonderful family-owned business, 35 years experience, second-generation craftsman, and our good friend Randy Green. Fully bonded and insured. Make sure you give Innovated Companies Construction Arm an opportunity for all your residential, commercial, anything you need. They're top flight guys and gals over there, because Stephanie is just a wonderful addition to the company. It was so great to see the Randy bring his daughter in to, as he'll tell you, kind of keep him in line. So that's good stuff. We do appreciate them greatly. Happy to be back on the airwaves here, and we've got a full house today. So let's, without messing around, let's go right around the table and make sure everybody knows who's here. First off, my friends from the McHenry University Bearcat hockey team, head coach Gary Henson and assistant coach Butter. What's going on, fellas?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very serious today.
You are very serious. Like, there's no, like, joking around with you.
No.
You're not Butter?
I almost have my game face on.
You do have a game. Is that his game face, like when things aren't going well on the bench?
I can't ever tell.
You can't ever tell?
He's already, he'll
got bigger things to do?
Yeah, he'll give me that look, and then he'll laugh at me later.
So you don't have any idea.
Yeah.
That's, you know what it is? He's a good poker player.
Yeah, that's
he
it.
He is a good
that
poker player. See how that goes?
Yeah, you know.
We got some special guests in studio today. Again, we say this all the time. Social media, it goes along. You know, it's hand in hand with podcasting. There's no doubt about it. You know, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. But a lot of good stuff that goes on Twitter. Even the, you know, the little bickering back and forth and frustrated Blues fans and things like that. I'm a big fan of some of the parody accounts. And I don't even know if that's the correct word, but I find this one to be, because I love the name. And I want to welcome in the guys from the Toast Dispatch, Nick and Nick Jr. Pavlovitz. Did I get that right, boys?
That's it. Good morning.
I did get that right. Now, before we move on, I got to ask a question. Are you a parody account? Are you playing off the Post-Dispatch name and trying to have a little fun with this, or is that just, you know, who knows?
Yeah, you definitely got that right. That was the original plan with that. It was, you got Post-Dispatch, and we're like, well, what's different? What can we do with Post-Dispatch? We're the Toast Dispatch, okay?
Sure, okay. Yeah, no, I like it. Yeah. I like it. Now, you guys admittedly are bigger Blues fans, but you also share all St. Louis area sports. Is that correct? Like, through your social media platforms?
Definitely. We talk about Blues, Cardinals, a little bit of everything. Lifelong Cardinal fans.
Yeah.
But not what? But not.
No longer Rams fans.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they're not from St. Louis anymore anyway, so you're good.
Hey, I'm a little worried here. Now, you said, you know you're a good parody website when they know you're a parody website. Now, you started out with, are you guys a parody website?
Well, no. I did. I was doing that respectfully. I didn't. In case you're like, guys are sitting over going, hey, man.
Let me clear that up.
We're serious business here.
What it is he's not really sure what the term parody means.
No, he knows.
So that's what it was.
But you know how, like, sometimes you think somebody's, like, kind of playing off something, trying to be funny with it, and all of a sudden they're like, no, that's our real thing. But anyway, so it was a good guess. So I'll take credit for that. But we're excited to have you guys in studio.
Thanks.
Today. I know you know, we do a lot of recording here on Monday mornings. We go from Blues to Cardinals to Rally Squirrel, and you guys are going to sit in on all three and get a full dose of some St. Louis fandom talk. And We're going to do our best to entertain you, and you can entertain our listeners as well. And along the way, we'll let you tell them a little bit more about what you do, why you do it, and where you intend to go with it. As at the end of the day, I think we're all trying to get somewhere. Maybe the buffet line, but that's
so translation. If after three hours, you're either going to love us or hate us, right?
Well, that's about right. That's how we feel after an hour.
Literally true of everyone I know.
Yes, it's literally absolutely true. Well, listen, no doubt we will not disappoint. Mr. Rivers will be joining us shortly. I do have some bad news today, though, if you don't mind me sharing some bad news.
Come on.
No Angela Sharp. No Angela Sharp today. She's the busiest.
I'm out of here.
All right. Well, that was a great podcast, boys. Yep. Good job.
Listen, the real talent is not here, she is busy. Can't be with us today, but she promises she will be back next week. But that'll give us a little bit more time to learn. That see, you guys are kind of filling the Angela size. You got big shoes to fill. That's all I can tell you.
That's really big shoes.
Before we get to Mr. Rivers, let's remind everybody who we are. We are the Blues NHL Podcast. You can learn more about us at bluesnhlpodcast.com. You can subscribe to the show there. It's completely free. Do your shopping at Amazon there. Simply click the Amazon banner, and we get a very small referral to help us pay the big guy back there behind the board, Mr. Brian Crocker, producer. Couldn't do the show without him, of course. You know, you can listen to this show, listen to back episodes if you want to go back and say, did he really say that? And, you know, you can kind of check us. Gary, a lot of people do that to Gary, but, you know, it's good. Social media, as I mentioned before, it's a big part of what we do. Find us on Twitter. We have two accounts, at NHL Show and at STL Blues Podcast. Please like both our Twitter accounts. Find us on Facebook. That's our big ass. Simply type in Blues NHL Podcast. Like our Facebook page, then the big cast comes in. Hit invite your friends, go through your list, any one of them that are Blues friends or even closet Blues friends or people you're trying to bring over to the Blues fandom, click on them, invite them to like our show. I promise you, if they're on the border, we'll make them fans. Find us on Instagram as well by simply typing in Blues NHL Podcast. Check out lineupmedia.fm. We do this show from their wonderful studios. They're expanding and growing every day. Can't wait to get into our new studios here in a few months. Fastest growing podcast on the company on the planet, people. And I'm telling you, if you're a podcaster, you will find another one on there that you enjoy, I promise you. Looking forward to today's show. I'm going to be about as honest as I can be. I have been out of town and haven't watched at all.
So quality.
Hey, I'm
in that same boat.
All right, yeah. So, Gary, it's all you and Mr. Rivers and the boys from the Toast Dispatch.
Yeah, because that's unusual.
Okay. All right. Panama Red.
Hey, can I digress real quick?
Please.
Now, you guys missed my first joke of the day.
Did we?
Yeah, it went right over everyone's head.
I missed it, too.
You missed it.
Oh, okay. Well, you see, if your son missed it, I don't feel so bad.
Now, you said that we had very big shoes to fill.
Yes.
Or, no, I said really big shoes. Now, what do girls not like about feet? They want small feet or big feet.
See, yeah, that did go over my head.
I said, really?
I was concentrating.
I was going to say we had high heels.
I said really big shoes, and Angela's going to be like, God, kill him.
No. See, there we goes the difference in parity. You think we're kidding. She's the real talent on this show. When say big shoes, we mean it.
Big shoes. I know. And speaking frankly, yeah, she is great at everything she does. We love her.
Yeah, no, she's been a great ad for us, to be honest with you. When I first met her and asked her to do it, she was like all for it. She loves this. And then you find out how busy she is, and you realize that she really does enjoy doing it. And fans like communicating with her. And, again, she does a great job with the kids and all the social stuff. She does a great job. So you know who else does a great job? And I hate to say it.
Me.
You hear that music playing? That music right there signals what?
He definitely hates to
it's time.
Say that.
It's definitely time to invite in the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Jamie Rivers. Hello, Jamie. How are you this morning?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Well, you know, we got a full house in here just to kind of get you up to date. We've got both the McKendry coaches here, Mr. Henson, Mr. Butter, and I have a gentleman that had contacted us from a really neat social media account called The Toast Dispatch. Said, I'd love to come in and be on your show. And I said, well, what are your qualifications? He says, I play hockey with Jamie, and I've whooped his ass a few times. I said, well, come on in anytime. So we've got Nick and Nick Jr. Pavlovitz here from Toast Dispatch. So welcome into a full house, buddy.
Oh, my God. Well, the only thing he got right in all that is toast. It's a great word for his Twitter account because he got toasted about 12 times last time I saw him.
So he is a netminder. That's what we're finding out here.
Well, we could loosely use the term netminder. just because you wear the gear doesn't necessarily make you a goalie.
Oh boy,
Jamie, I want to be able to defend myself here. Now, you could have went with work in progress. That might have been a little nicer, but.
This is true, but your time is running out, so I'm just trying to help you out.
Now, listen, Nick, you said you listened to the show, so now I'm wondering if you were lying to me just to get on, because if you listen to this show, you know he's not very nice to anybody behind one of these mics. He lets me and Kimby have it on a regular basis.
I love the banter between him and Kimble.
Oh, it's that. Banter.
That's why I listen.
You know what's missing today, since they're not here? We have a temporary wall we put up, like a restraining wall, to keep them from killing one another. It's good stuff, but... Well, my friend, I haven't seen you in a while. I missed you, if you can believe that, and I'm looking forward to hear what you have to say today, because as I've let our listeners know, not that I'm not always useless, I'm completely useless because I've been out of town and haven't watched a Blues game in a week. So it's all I said, who's seen the games? Gary raised his hand. I said, well, then it's all you two, and he said, what's new? So I said, I don't know. So, you know.
Well, you haven't seen a game. Did you take one of those trips to the moon or something? Because last time I checked, every device that anybody owns now, you either watch a game or stream a game.
I was working.
Where the hell did you go?
I was in Indianapolis for a annual Baseball Coaches Association convention with about 10,000 people, and I was working day and night. What do you want me to do?
Day and night. I consider you probably working day, but at night you're probably working a different angle.
Well, I was working a different angle, but it involved a lot of 12-ounce curls. That's where business really gets done, let's be honest here. And I know you've done a lot of business during 12-ounce curls. What I do know is that I was paying as much attention as I could. I do know that we got a really nice home win against Vegas, who has been – you know, a very surprising team this year in the league, and by all accounts, exciting game. Got a couple of goals from some whooping boys lately, and then the weekend didn't go as well. I did get to see the overtime winner against Washington, and I'm gonna let you and Gary and you guys can break everything down, but I got to start with one thing. The big problem in the NFL is nobody knows what a catch is. Do we not know what a slash is? That is a pure – I will say this. I guarantee the ref was probably like, oh, God, now they come down. He's out of the play. There's no one in position, and they score. I should have called. I can guarantee you he had to think that there's no way. I don't know. I just can't believe it.
Well – If you watch the play and how it develops, a couple things on that play is Parayko makes a great rush up the ice. Unfortunately, he's not really looking with his head up because he could have gotten killed, murdered by a hit right before that. But the guy does come over and slash at his hands, his stick, and knocks the stick out of his hands. Now, right away, the referee, just like you said, is thinking, man, I don't want to be the difference in this game. Like, this has been a back-and-forth game. I'd rather let the teams, sort this out. And what happens is the breakaway doesn't materialize right away. It takes a couple seconds. And in those couple seconds, Colton Parayko, without a stick, stops, turns, puts his arms up to the ref, and then takes a few strides back and then decides he's going to go change. Now Joel Edmondson has to jump off the bench to chase the breakaway guy. And it just so happens that at the same time, Vladdy Tarasenko decided to change as well. So you had two guys go change when there's a transition with the puck and the puck's being moved to a guy at a breakaway. Now the guy did not have a breakaway when the slash first happened. So it's not like Parayko had the puck. The guy comes up and slashes them, and then that right away directly results in the guy going the other way for a breakaway. You would have seen the ref call that for sure. It would have been a two-minute penalty, no doubt. But because of the way things materialize, not slowly, because when you watch it, it happens pretty fast, but still relatively slowly based upon, all the things that happen in a short period of time, you end up with a situation where the referee now can't make the call because he's waited too long, but knows he should have made a call, and then the puck's in the back of the net, and nobody's happy about it. Trust me. The only person happy about it is the Washington Capitals. That's about it. The Blues are pissed, the referee's pissed, everybody's pissed that it happened, but it's just one of those things.
Gary is fuming.
I am fuming right now.
He is
fuming. First of all, Parenko skates a puck into traffic, which is stupid in 3-on-3, but he skates a puck up the wall into the traffic. Backstrom is the one who knocks the stick out of his hand. Backstrom knocks the stick out, curls, and is instantly open. So I disagree. I think the referee has time to say, I don't want to call that, like you said, then sees Backstrom flying the weak side, sees where the puck's going to go. Everybody in the rink knew the puck was going to him, and then goes, you know what, I got to stick my arm up now, and I'll just skate over to Washington and say, I didn't want to call it, but when I saw Backstrom flying the weak side with nobody over there, I got to make the call now.
So you want the refs to be able to call the advantage like in soccer.
Right. I want to get it right. I want. And he had more than enough time to get it right. I know, granted, it was it's NHL, so things happen fast. But when he slashes the stick out of his hand, curls to the weak side, there's enough time to stick your arm in the air.
Hey, more importantly, I've seen this.
Oh, God, Gary, I don't know, man.
Come on.
Now you're going to run into that territory of, well, you know, you weren't going to call it until you saw this, and now what it's doing is it's taking the referee. Like, it's going to get absolute. Listen, that referee, it's up shit creek no matter what, okay? Because whether he calls it or not, the West Washington would be pissed. The Blues are pissed in this situation. Like I said, nobody really wins in this. And I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. Trust me. I'm not disagreeing. What I'm saying is the circumstances surrounding it made it really difficult for him to call the penalty 2 seconds later is really what he would have had to do.
I think it's less than two seconds. If the ref did that,
you'd lose your shit.
Well, I don't know what I say in that situation. I honestly don't. I'm going to try to be objective here. But I don't know what I say if we're in a 3-on-3 situation and one of my guys whacks a stick out of another player's hand. I'm going to have a real hard time defending that. And secondly, what makes it so frustrating, Jamie, is the weak hooking, slashing calls that are made during the games now.
That's why it's frustrating.
And that's even more frustrating because if you put your stick into his midsection or on his hands, the NHL's mandated for those guys to call that, and they've been calling
it. Absolutely.
And it's been frustrating for everyone. It's been frustrating for the players, the fans, and everyone. And now you have a clear slash. Nobody's going to argue that that's not a slash. And if they do, they're a freaking moron, and you know it. And now there's no call. It's just bullshit is what it is. And I'm annoyed about it. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I'm hot about the whole thing. I'm hot about the whole game. Like, I just don't understand how everybody in the world sees Ovechkin on the weak side point on a faceoff. And the Blues
on. Now we're switching gears.
I know we're switching gears because I'm just annoyed.
I want to throw out that I agree with Jamie. As to why the ref did what he did, it was because of that moment. The game was a tight game. He didn't want to make the call.
He gets paid a lot of money to make those decisions.
Yeah, but I think what it came down to from the human standpoint is that he made a quick decision, and once that decision was made in his mind, he couldn't make any decision.
I don't.
I think he put his whistle in his pocket and didn't make a decision.
I think he checked out of the game, and I think it was a bad play, and I think it makes the NHL look bad.
Gary,
I agree with you.
To be technical here, Gary, I'm going to have to tell you this, that his choice not to make a decision was actually a decision.
No.
He did make a decision.
No. I think he decided way before that I'm putting my whistle in my pocket and I'm going to ignore everything. That was the decision, not right then.
Well, let me get you really fired up, Gary.
Here we go.
Did you watch the Toronto game on Saturday night?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see the overtime where Brock Besser gets the slashing penalty?
Yeah, I did.
It was a one-handed slap on the guy's hand.
It had no effect on the play. Almost no effect on the play.
No effect on the play.
Right.
And what did the referee do, Gary?
He stuck his hand in air.
That's right.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see if you get even more angry.
He can't be any more angry than he is right now, Jamie. It's 105 in here, thank you.
I am sweating. I am so pissed
off. It is 105 in here now because he is radiating.
There is so much wrong. If you want to look at, if you want to break down with what's wrong, going wrong right now, you just watch that game. Like, we don't react well. I just, oh man, I'm just.
Gary, pissed. Jamie, let me tell you
I'm
something.
Taking
he is
over
sitting
Jamie's
in your seat.
Pissed.
He's
I
sitting in your seat. It's Gary's piss today.
I think
it's not
that's
Jamie's
what it is.
Pissed. It's Gary's piss.
I sat down. I got mad.
It's that chair.
I'm craving Red Bull.
Well, give us the
play. Attaboy.
Give us the play by play when Backstrom put it in the net. I want to see your reaction. What did you do when that moment happened? You see him break in, you're like, damn, it's over.
Did you throw anything? Or?
No, I just looked at the TV and went, once again, the NHL referees blow.
You did do a tweet, like, or a Facebook post.
I just put it on Facebook. I said, slashing is a penalty.
Yeah, that was his reaction. And look, today.
That was my reaction.
That was it.
But I get mad. I'm mad about the whole game. I get so frustrated. Like, I just don't understand how we don't anticipate well. How does 8 sit over there all the damn time against us? Like, he just sits.
Well,
now he does it to everybody. I know he does it to everybody. I know he does it to everybody. But my God, when he's on the.
He's done that a couple, 500-600 times already?
Well, I understand that. Well, that makes.
To everybody.
Okay. But isn't there video on that? There should be some video somewhere on that.
Jamie, you tell me, how come? Why is there no discussion before the game? And maybe there was, and if there was...
Well, there is.
Well, okay, then why aren't the Blues reacting correctly? How come if it's not said, okay, if we're on a PK and we got a defensive zone faceoff on the right side of our ice, most likely Ovechkin's going to be on the weak side D. If we lose that draw, somebody go to that spot. Nobody even went to the spot.
Halfway.
No. Hang on. Slow down. Okay, slow down just a little bit.
I'm pissed.
Backstrom wins that faceoff so cleanly, and it heads over to Ovechkin so quickly. And you do have Colton Parayko does go out over there. That's his responsibility at that point because the winger's been tied up by the forward. He's supposed to get in that shot lane. Gary, I'm sorry to say, there's no time to do anything more than try to barely get over to the shot lane. And then by that point, you're stuck in the dead zone, right? Because do you go over there and try to block it and get in your goalie's way, which kind of is what happened on that goal, or do you just let it happen and hopefully your goalie gets an angle on it and it hits him? I mean, there's really no. I know both of them sound kind of ridiculous, but that's exactly my point.
I like that. I hope it hits them.
And add to all of that the release time and velocity on the shot. It's world class. It's the best in the world. And so for the goalie to push out on that play and everything to happen perfect, you need a perfect play on the other end to stop that shot.
Right.
And
so
it wasn't
like. Don't go defending the goalies now. We got the goalie
left,
union
left
in
out
us
to
today.
Dry.
Oh, my goodness.
The whole game. Left out to dry.
Well,
all right.
Hanging. The bottom line on that
the bottom
play
line
is everybody knows.
I know Jamie Rivers, and Jamie Rivers would have laid out. He would have sacrificed everything to get there, and it didn't happen for the St. Louis Blues. And you can defend whomever you want, but I've seen you lay it out and take it in the face if you had to. So I don't want to hear about how somebody tried to make it
look
over.
Look what that got him.
Well, it got him. NHL career and a good NHL career. So I'm just saying, I didn't see what you saw.
Look, there's a way to certainly get over there and to make an attempt at it. There's no doubt. Like, I've always said this a million times to people when asked about shot blocking. Some people say it's a talent. Some people say it's not a talent, this, that, the other. I'll tell you this about shot blocking. It's a very quick decision inside your own brain on whether or not you like to get hit by the puck or not. And that's just bottom line. No, it's true, because there's a conflict there, because a guy like Ovechkin, Parayko, you know, these guys, Shea Weber, these guys who ripped the puck back in my day, you know, the Al McInnes's, the Ally Afraidy's, the guys who could really bring it. You're standing there and you have to make a very quick decision in your mind. You know it's going to hurt like hell. Like, you just know. And you don't know how bad, but you know it's going to hurt bad. And you got to decide quickly. am I enjoying this right now to get hit by the puck? And that's when I've always decided that, yes, I enjoyed being hit by the puck because I'd rather be hurt than embarrassed.
Pain's temporary, and Jamie. Pain's temporary.
Hey, Jamie, can we go down that road on blocking shots? Could I ask you a couple of questions on that?
Fire away. Yeah,
hey, sure. Just real quick. So typically when you're playing sports, in the heat of a game, there's all this adrenaline. So when you do get hit, is there a moment where you're okay for about 5 seconds, then you're like, oh, God, I'm going to die? Or is it immediate when it's a really hard shot in the wrong spot, you already know you're dead when it comes to adrenaline in a game?
It certainly depends. There's a lot of things that go into it. It depends on where you get hit, right? Like if you get hit where there's padding, even though old people say, well, they're well padded, well, it hurts like hell anyways. And there's broken bones that happen through padding. There's broken feet that happen through, protected skates. So trust me, the padding means very little sometimes. Now, as far as the pain itself goes, it can depend on the moment of the game as well. Like if I'm on a penalty kill and I know the game's on the line, or it's a big penalty kill and I get reamed with a shot in the side of the face, I'm not going down. I'm staying up to continue to play because there's a bigger project here to finish than worrying about the side of my head. And so, yeah, it'll hurt, but it's amazing what you can do mentally that in order to continue going. And I remember getting a slap shot at one time right in the face, in the chin, and it busted my chin wide open, and gobs of blood were falling down, and I thought they were the puck. Because, you look down at your chest, and you're like, it looks like a hockey puck is sitting in your midsection. I'm grabbing at my chest, and it's just big gobs of blood that I'm grabbing at. But then, I find out the puck is back over in the corner, and I'm readjusted over to, play defense again. And referee blows the whistle, and he's like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, well, first I thought I had the puck. Then I realized I didn't have the puck. I got to get the puck back. He's like, how about you get to the bench and get some care, okay?
You're like that dog that chases a bone around. You just can't stop.
Pretty much,
that's
yeah.
Good, though.
I mean,
That's good, though.
18 stitches later, I was back in the game. So,
well, I will say this. I know people have been on 91 a lot lately. He's not, he's not pouring them in. I would say on the stat sheet, he's showing up more lately in the assist column, couple of goals. You and I kind of chatted when I got back last night. I was very honest with you and told you I hadn't seen anything lately, and you kind of had given us a Twitter poll to send out. Basically, there's a little frustration in the social media world with the lines that are going on, and I think we always wonder who should Tarasenko be playing with. So you had kind of put that out there. So as we always do, we'll go around the room and everybody can give their answer. Gary, start with you. Who's the best center for Tarasenko? Stastny, Shen, Berglund, or Brodziak?
Shen.
Butter?
Shen.
Nick Jr.?
Gotta go with Shen.
Nick Senior, I saw your poll. I'm going with Shen.
Shen, okay. I also, I'm the guy that voted for Berglund to piss Kimball off. So I knew what Jamie was really trying to do here. Jamie, any doubt in your mind at Shen?
Well, yeah, there is.
Oh, okay, great. And, well, let's hear why.
And yeah, I'm going to explain myself. One is every now and then when you have a great line or you have a great pair of individuals, every now and then the well runs dry for whatever reason. And when the well runs dry, you, instead of becoming the best duo in the league or continuing to be the best duo in the league, you start to get frustrated with each other. And it's just like, honestly, guys, it's just like a marriage or a relationship or your brother or something like that, where you love the guy to death, and all this, but all of a sudden you're finding all the things to complain about that person rather than tell everybody how great he is. And I'm not saying that was what happened with Shen and Tarasenko. Trust me, I am not alluding to that. I'm looking at it even more simple than that, to just maybe their styles of play, because of the urgency that's been needed, they're just not meshing as well as they once did. And so you look to change the vibe sometimes. And I think Stastny is a great way to change the vibe. If you look at these last couple games with Stastny at center, it's rejuvenated Vladdy a little bit, as well as Stastny. You know, when's the last time did we talk about Paul Stastny as much in the last couple of games as we just have? Like, I don't want to say he's relevant again, like he wasn't relevant before, but he's at the front of the class now. You know, he's with Vladdy, and Barbashev's doing a great job of being a little puck retriever out there, working hard, getting some points. But, you know, I'm not saying it's permanent, because when Schwartzy comes back, I guarantee that they're going to throw those three back on the line together, because they got to see if they can make magic again. But in the short term here, or in temporary at least, I like the Stastny move. I think it hasn't hurt Shen. You know, he had a nice goal or an assist. I don't know. I think they gave it to Steen. But still, he's played pretty well. And Stastny's picked up his game, and Vladdy's picked up his game. So for me right now, today, that's a winner.
Yeah, I can see that, and I'll be honest with you. I'll take Stastny if his approach playing with Tarasenko is, I don't know if everybody remembers Craig Janney, but if he came in here and said, you know what, I'm going to take the role of, my only role here is to get the puck and get it to 91, then I'll take Stastny, because you know how I feel. I the guy can't score. I mean, he misses more surefire. I'm sorry, but he gets a lot of point-blank shots and doesn't score. I don't understand it for a guy that talented, but that's just my opinion. So if his sole role is to get the puck to 91, I'll take Stastny. But again, to your point, I think most fans are dying for Schwartz to come back and see if the Shen Schwartz Tarasenko line can make that magic happen again. So I do understand why you maybe doubt why Shen would be the no-brainer, but for our poll, he was the no-brainer. He was 74%. Stastny was 19%. It'll make Kimby happy that 4% picked Brodziak and only 3% picked Berglund, but it is going to fire up. It is going to fire him up, because it doesn't – listen, I was told there'd be no math, and I don't even have to use any to know that 3% picked Berglund, so it was more than just me to piss Kimball off. So there are a few people out there that really believe Patrick Berglund should be centering Tarasenko. So be prepared when you come in here Thursday for Kimby to absolutely lose his
mind.
I'm
changing my answer, and I'm going with Berglund.
You're going with, just to piss him off, right? Well, again, the Twitter polls are always fun, and Jamie, that was a great one. I'm glad you come up with that. All you've done here, though, now is I'm going to be texting you all the time going, what we should do on Twitter poll, what should we do on Twitter poll? Because it was a much better Twitter poll.
Now I'm going to have to remind you to look at spell check or check Google before you do the damn polls, though.
Well, when you send it to me and you spell it wrong, I mean, I'm just copying and pasting. You got to remember what I'm doing on Sundays, pal. So,
you know. That's good to know. I could have sent you anything and you'd have been copying and pasting.
I would have. You could have sent me a porn question and I'd have probably Twitter polled it.
Goodness. Oh,
you
got to
remember,
go.
Jamie's actually Canadian, so there's a language barrier there.
Well, there is a language barrier. But, hey, thanks to Innovated Heating and Cooling, another arm underneath that Innovated Company umbrella that takes care of us over here at Blues NHL Podcast. Again, give them an opportunity for your business. Check them out at innovatedcompanies.com. Jamie, I know we're running up against time with you. I there were so many questions that in this room about that, but maybe we'll expand on that a little bit, because I promise you the whole line thing is not over. That's what we know about the NHL. So there'll be different lines tomorrow and different lines the next day. We got to get to some of these questions. Another one of the Innovated Company arms sponsors this segment, and I know you got to get going. So let's get a few questions in. You ready?
Sure.
Okay. Brennan Fort, at Brennan Fort. What are your thoughts on Jágr? I see a lot of people calling for the Blues to try and pick him up now that he's done in Calgary. For the life of me, I cannot see how this would be good for us. Am I wrong?
Yeah, that's a no-go on that one. You know.
Is he done?
Look, you know, I think he's done. I mean, unfortunately, here's the thing, right? Like, I think he still can contribute when healthy, but the training camp, missing training camp at his age, it's just too hard in today's NHL. And he's had to push his body probably too hard, and they brought him back too quickly to put him in the games. He's done. You know, for all intents and purposes, he's done. If anybody goes and signs him, I guess they're way smarter than I am. But I don't think he's an option at all for the Blues. A hell of a hockey player. One of the hardest guys, if not the hardest guy I ever had to play against in my career to defend. So hats off to Jarmer on a great career, but I think this is the end of the line.
Could you see a team, a really good team with really top-end six guys,
maybe picking him up and giving him time to get healthy, get himself ready, and then him almost be like an addition later in the year to play with top guys? Like, you know, if he was playing with guys that, let's say, for example, he went back to Pittsburgh and played with Crosby or Malkin, could he do that? Does he have enough talent to do that? No? Okay, he's done then.
He has talent. He's got no legs under him anymore to do it. And, you know, let's be honest, when he played in Calgary this year, I watched the games very closely for several reasons, but certainly one of them was to see how he could handle it. And the pace of the game, as it is, has gotten so fast that he was slowing down, even healthy. He was slowing down, but his puck protection and puck skills held him in the game for at least the last year and a half, maybe two seasons. But now without the wheels to really get him around there, and then he's kind of sort of injured, he can't help. I mean, if you put him on another team that's so good, you're taking away opportunity from somebody else who's going to continue to help that team win, and they can probably get on the puck a lot faster and things like that. So rather than have this guy bounce around two or three times and be embarrassed at the end of his career, like, I just hope he chalks it up to career-ending injury based upon age and, you know, rides off into the sunset and goes and does something else that I'm sure he'll be great at.
Well, that's good. We have a lot of people asking about Jágr, so that covers a lot of our stuff that came in.
Just to throw into that.
Go ahead.
Is there any chance that we could Blues could pick up Jágr, or some team picks up Jágr, and he develops an allergic reaction to his equipment like Hossa did?
Oh, okay, yeah. He might be able to do that. Yeah, an allergic reaction, yeah.
I think we could all work on that one.
Yeah, I could do that. Butter, you can do that one, can't you?
Oh, I'm good at that one.
You are good at that one.
I'll throw out one thing, too, on Jágr, is that I hope he doesn't do this, but I agree with everything Jamie's saying. I'd add to it that his only chance to stay in the league, if he wanted to, was a bottom-tier team looking to fill seats. I'm guessing that. But that would be I don't think that'd be a great situation for him at all. But
unless he still wants to keep playing.
Right, because he loves the game. He wants to keep playing. But I pictured somebody just wanting to fill seats might grab him, and he might go, but hopefully he doesn't.
But even you got to think of that. Even the teams who are the bottom ones, no longer are they looking to fill those seats temporarily like that. Like, those teams are in the bottom are looking to bring up their American leaguers or their junior players or college players that are finished their season. They're trying to get these young guys, you know, into the mix as quick as possible. So when you have a guy like Jágr, that's a major roadblock for the development of some of your players, because let's be honest, who wants to go and put their prospect or their draft pick in ahead of Jaromír Jágr? Like, it creates a big roadblock. So I don't see him being an advantage in any capacity like that.
Well, again, a lot of people just curious. And let's face it, I mean, his career is understandably why people are intrigued by him, but I think you've made your point. This ship has sailed. It's time to sail off into the Hall of Fame.
And it's hard for me to do that, Cromes, because I was a big supporter of his in the offseason. His skills, I thought he still had it, and I still think he's a great player. I just think that, like you said, it's time to move on, unfortunately.
Well, and I think you had made your point clear, too, that he needed to be in training camp if it was going to work, and that just wasn't happening. So, moving on. Spruto, is it me or does this team – and we're getting a lot of this, too. Is it me or does the team play better in front of Hutton than Jake? They gave up 5 odd man rushes against Philly. Didn't see near that today against Washington.
Well, yeah, obviously. Think about it. Like, if you suck one day – the next day, you could put anybody. You could put Nick in the net, and he's going to face.
Let's not go that far.
He's going to face less odd man rushes than Allen did the day before. I mean, it's the old thing. Like, if I continue to slap you in the face with my left hand, aren't you eventually going to block it? If not, that's your problem, right? Like, so the Blues had to figure out quickly that they're not going to give up all these odd man rushes and do it. So they corrected their game from Saturday to Sunday. Now, it just so happens that they were juggling the goalies anyways. Like, guys, here's the inside scoop on this. No matter how good Jake played on Saturday or how bad he played on Saturday, Hutton was starting Sunday. Okay? It was already in the cards. Now, this is where I wish coaching staff, Mike Yeo, would just address the media and say that. And say, hey, look, on Saturday he could have said, hey, look, Jake's going today, Carter's going tomorrow. And just put it to bed, right? But because coaches are secretive, and I know why he didn't, because he left that slight margin out there that if Jake got a shutout, well, he's going to come back with him on Sunday. But nobody holds, like, nobody makes the decision except Mike. So even if he would have said, Jake, Saturday, Hutton goes Sunday, Jake gets a shutout, post-game press conference, he says, well, guys, yeah, Jake played great shutout. In fact, we're going to go back with him tomorrow. Boom. Because he played so great because of this. And, like, what's Carter Hutton going to do? Go in and say, no, 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 you said I'm playing. Like, no, that doesn't happen. So I hate what I'm seeing right now, and I know why it's happening, because Jake is not having, you know, the spectacular performances, and Carter Hutton has been spectacular at times. He hasn't been spectacular overall, but he's come up with some really unbelievable saves at times. Not right now, that's what we're remembering, okay? So, like yesterday, we're not going to talk about the goal that beats him, you know, short side, Lars Eller's goal that should never go in on a goalie. Should never go in. But we're not talking about that, because we just want to highlight the fact that, oh my God, did you see that sixth save against New Jersey in overtime? And I get the fact that we're doing that. I understand. And I'm a big fan like that too sometimes. But you got to remember that both of these goalies are really good goalies. Jake is an elite goalie in the NHL, and Carter Hutton is an elite backup goalie in the NHL. Otherwise, guys, and I love Carter Hutton, but otherwise Carter Hutton would have been a starter somewhere by now. So I'm trying to put it in order here. I'm trying to be the one to sort it out for all the people who are listening and watching and paying attention to Blues. It's Jake Allen number one, Carter Hutton number two. Let's just hope that if Jake Allen number one isn't playing well, then we go to Carter Hutton number two, and he plays awesome to win his hockey games until Jake Allen number one gets back on track.
All right.
And that's the way it should be looked at.
Well, I think that spells it out for everybody, because there's a lot of people that would disagree, so that's good stuff. I should have asked this question right off the bat. I this one was down the list.
What's that? How to spell Stasny?
Yeah, well, I could ask you the same thing. Add Deneen Preston at Raziel Marie. Piggybacking off your poll, is the current challenge finding the right center for Tarasenko, or is it more about Tarasenko improving his game?
Both. I mean, look at Vladdy is, let's see here. He's an interesting hockey player, okay? Because I use the term interesting because I've played with a lot of really interesting Hall of Famers in my life, okay? And I can tell you, I could rhyme off name after name after name that I was very fortunate enough to play with. And Vladdy would fall into that category of interesting in the fact that, you know, he has spurts of greatness to where you think this is possibly the top three or four players in the NHL right now. And then he has spurts of where you're like, God, I didn't even hear his name tonight. And that's the part that scares me, is the fact that there can be such a gap between Vladdy all world and Vladdy, where is he? And I think he's still in a bit of a maturing process. And I'm being real positive when I say that, because I'm hoping it's not a pattern with him to where you're only getting, like, Alexei Kovalev, probably the most talented player ever to skate in the NHL. I mean, even more talented than Pavel Datsyuk. This guy was incredible. However, why do we not talk about him like that? Because he was incredible, or he was, where is he? And he was a Russian hockey player. And so I draw the parallels between the two of these players. And Vladdy is incredible, just like Alexei Kovalev was. And then sometimes he's not there, just like Kovalev was. And now, what do we speak of Alexei Kovalev? We don't really talk about him all that much, right? Because he didn't leave a lasting impression long enough on us.
So
hey, I'm hoping Vladdy figures out how to stay in all-world zone more often than not. I guess it's the longest way of answering that possible, but I'm hoping his maturation speeds up and that he realizes that his youth isn't forever and that he better get shit done now before he ends up being a kind of sort of all-star.
I know Nick wants to follow up on your question, but I got to tell you that when you called Vladdy interesting, the first thought that went through my mind was like, interesting like Joe Murphy interesting or interesting? You went to Alexei Kovalev interesting, so that was good. Nick, go ahead and follow up.
Yeah, hey, Jamie. So what I want to ask is, I had the same thoughts about Tarasenko. Maybe a lot of people do. Hey, he puts the puck in the net, and that's what matters. But there's some chinks in his armor. So when I look at his game, I think what I see lately is puck management. And I wanted to ask you, knowing players and seeing their whole careers evolve, he obviously can score and develop that at a young age. What about puck management? Do you think that's a problem, and do you think he has a chance to develop as a player? Because he's relatively still young, I guess.
Yeah, look, he makes some decisions that, you know, are questionable at times. Like, I find that he hangs on to the puck sometimes way too long, searching for something to open up. And by that point, things close down quicker in today's NHL, and then it's deflected or blocked. And look, I'm no secret here on the fact that I think he needs to increase the speed of his release. And when I talk about that, people always say, what the hell? He's got one of the best releases in the NHL. You're right, but I'm going to go over this again. There's two different parts of a release to a shot. One is the loading of the shot, and two is the pressure point of the release. And Vladdy's pressure point, where he's pushing down on the stick and releasing the puck, is second to none in the NHL. But his loading process to go from point A to point B to where he can actually put pressure on the puck takes too long. And everybody in the world knows when he's loading that shot that he's going to shoot it. It's like there's no deception involved.
All right, I'm going to blow up this. Jamie, I'm going to blow up this whole podcast. You ready? I got a theory. The reason he can't load quick enough is because he's got a big booty. He can't shift his weight. Am I right?
No, Nick, that's really wrong, but it's wrong on so many levels.
I was going to say, Mr. Hull's got a big booty, doesn't he?
I saw him at Whole Foods.
Yeah, he's got a massive booty.
I saw him at Whole Foods. He walks by me. I'm like, God, it's Tarasenko. Look at that. He walks by me, and I look at him. I'm like, God, he's got the biggest butt I've ever seen.
Brett Hull looked like Jerome Bettis from the waist down. I don't know what you're talking
about,
Nick.
For a guy.
Yeah, what concerns me the most is that the first thing you did is look at his ass.
I was going to say.
I said after he passed me, and it was so...
Exactly. After he passed you, you checked him out. That's okay. Terrible, Nick. Hey, this is a family program,
saying,
pal.
Like, if there's somebody I want to check out, I wait till they walk past me, and then I do it. So
somebody,
you know,
or,
you're kind of falling in that creepy category on me here.
Say, this thing's
I think I dug a big hole there.
This has went way wrong somewhere. I don't know. But,
man.
I'm going to say this real quick, Jamie, before you finish. I believe this. I don't disagree with anything you're saying regarding his improvement in other areas. But, and Brett Hull alluded
to
it.
Speaking of butts.
Yeah, Brett Hull alluded to it. If he would hit the net more often, he would be less invisible more often. That's the bottom line.
No, you're right. But if you look at things too, Gary, and I know you watch a ton of video and you're a hockey coach through and through. If you look at things, when the play develops too slowly when you're shooting the puck, odds are your shooting lanes become smaller and smaller, right? So you're shooting around the coverage, which by the time the puck gets to the net, where does it end up?
Right.
It misses the net. Right?
He's shooting.
That's right.
Yeah, his target zones are far less than they should be. But that all goes to what I'm agreeing with you, though. Like, his load is too slow.
I'm just having a conversation.
Yeah, if his load was faster, as Hully alluded to, he would hit the net more often, and that's the truth.
So
even his goal, even his goal in Washington yesterday, where Barbashev sets him up alone in the slot, he gets that puck, and I kid you not, as soon as he got it, I was like, shoot!
You were that guy!
But he didn't. He even on his goal, you watch his goal, he receives the puck, he like looks, loads, and shoots. Now he scores, don't get me wrong. But there's a whole lot that could have happened in that second that he looks, loads, and then by the time he shoots, like, realistically, that defenseman should have sprawled out down low.
The C definitely parted.
Well, good stuff as always, my friend. I know we kept you way, way too long, but we do appreciate
you. Well, maybe
you
very I want to hang around, Cromer.
Typically, you're like sending me texts going, get me out of here. I'm tired of talking to you.
No, that's not true.
To me,
I don't ever text you. Let's get it straight. I don't text you.
I mean, I can't listen to you and Gary go at it anymore this week. I mean, he's reminding me of you. I mean, usually,
we're agreeing, though, just passionately.
But you've got 105 going over here. The heat is radiating off you.
I'm sweating.
Seat. It's unreal.
He's got 105 going because he's worried the Knicks checking out his ass.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, before he leaves, can I take the high road with Jamie and tell him I want to tell everybody that Jamie still has it. How old are you, Jamie? How old are you?
43.
He's 43. Still got a shot. He can still skate. He barred down on every shot. A great and an ex-NHL player. And see that high road I just took?
Wait a minute. There's no high road here. You have to remember.
I appreciate it, Nick, buddy. And I'll take the high road, too, and say that it's great to have guys like Nick here locally that come out and skate with the alumni guys, because without the guys locally coming out to skate with us, we really wouldn't have anybody to mess around with and have fun and try to relive the old days. So it's great. And Nick, I love the Toast Dispatch. I enjoy it thoroughly. So keep that up. Appreciate your support for sure. But great to have you on the show, Nick.
Well, let me tell you what's just been proven here, though. He really doesn't listen to the show, because if he did listen, he would know that we went on and on and on for weeks and weeks and weeks last year about your three assist performance in front of 48,000 and your saucer pass to Peter Stastny, the Hall of Famer, for the whole snipe against the Blackhawks. And basically, if they would have given out an MVP for the alumni game, it was Jamie Rivers all day long and twice on Sunday. So he obviously doesn't listen to the show.
I just think that, you know, he wanted to highlight my goal-scoring ability more than just my passing.
I think he was just looking for the next time he faces you some sympathy and maybe not buzz the tower on him.
I think you were +3 in that game. You know, your defensive capabilities were on point. I mean, it was – now, I believe you – as soon as – who'd you pair yourself with? The most recent guy out of the league, Jackman? Now,
if we're going to go down that road
– No, I'm saying you got to be smart too, right? I mean
– No. I'll tell you what, guys, and I think I've said this before, but – Brian Sutter was really coaching that game. Like, he really was coaching. He wasn't like a, hey, open the door, everybody gets to play, ha, ha, ha. Like, he came in before the game, and he changed the lineup. I was originally supposed to play. Jax was supposed to play with Garth Butcher because they're both number fives, and I was going to play with Jeff Brown because we're both from Ottawa and played junior in Sudbury and then drafted to the Blues. So it's kind of like, okay, you know, it all kind of made sense. Brian Sutter came in and changed it all. And he goes, you know, Butchie and Brownie, they're like, well, we're two right shots. He's like, I don't care. And he goes, I want Rivers and Jackman. And we're like, we're two left shots. He goes, I don't care. So you're like, okay, Brian Sutter just said he doesn't care. And he looks kind of intense right now. I think I'm just going to do what I'm told. And that's how it went, for real. And then halfway through the game, the younger guys for the Blackhawks were starting to light it up a little bit. And Sutter came down and just said, every time that – I won't say exactly what he said because I don't want it to be. But he goes, every time, bleep, 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 that Daze is on the ice for Chicago, I want Rivers and Jackman out there against him. And he, after everything he said, remember, we don't lose to the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I remember you. You know, when we were doing all that coverage, when one of your first things where he was there when you guys were having your skates – we did the thing at Rookies out in St. Charles, and Jackman showed up and spent some time with us and talked to some fans, and so did Cam Jansen. And Cam Jansen was the one that came over, and I said, how was the skate today? And he goes, this Brian Sutter's not messing around. I mean, we thought this was going to be fun. And he looked at all of us and said, we don't lose to the Blackhawks, especially in our house, especially in front of 40,000 people. We're going to kick somebody's ass. I mean, he said, we're going to kick ass. We're not losing to the Blackhawks. And he's like, it was a little different skate today, Jim. I said, okay, sounds good to me. So, you know, those are the stories you can't get unless you have guys like you on here. So thank you so much for your time. Hey, each and every Monday, of course, you're brought to you to our airwaves by our good friends, NelsonLandscaping.com. Make sure you give them an opportunity for your local business. Great family involved in the amateur community. Gary, obviously, is familiar with the family as he recruited their son to McKendree Bearcat Hockey. And
their son had two big goals this weekend. Their younger son, Alec, had two big goals this weekend.
Good weekend
for the Nelsons.
Well, the Nelson family, again, NelsonLandServices.com. Give them an opportunity. And, of course, Synergy Hockey. You were touting all your holiday camps. Before you get out of here, why don't you tell our listeners what you got going on and where they can learn more about Synergy Hockey?
Well, with the new year upon us, we're into our small group training again, which is filling up really fast. So I don't know if it's New Year's resolutions or Christmas gifts that are happening, but our lessons are filling up extremely fast. So you want to get on there and register and get your kids out there to get as many touches as possible. Best way to do it, synergyhockeyskills.com. Go under group sessions, small group training, or lessons. Click on that. It'll take you right to where you need to be to sign your kid up. And like I said, they're going fast, so I would get on there as soon as possible if you're interested.
Hey, I have a. You need to confirm or deny a report I've heard.
Okay.
A big part of businesses like your own are testimonials. There's a story going around that while guys like Coach Henson throw out testimonials online about the work you've done with like players for him and training and then all the young guys and the recruiting, there's a rumor going around that Nick Senior put a testimonial out there that Synergy Hockey had gotten him to where he is and you took it down. Is that true or false?
Well, it's true, okay, because a couple reasons. One, most of the time we like to highlight the positives of our program, and Nick would not be a positive. And second, he's a goalie, and we don't train goalies in Synergy Hockey. And if you've ever seen him play goalie, we'll use the term goalie loosely. So therefore, even if he was a good or a goalie, he's not a good one. So we don't want to take credit for that either.
Well, hence Toast Dispatch. Yes, good stuff.
Well, we would love to have him out as a target one day. He can stand in there when some of our midget and junior players are doing their lessons. I'm sure they'd love to shoot some pucks at him one day.
Hey, I've offered before. I told you. Give me a call when you're short the goalie. I'll come out and I'll take some off the head for you.
I will take you up on that because the boys like to have a goalie rather than that ugly old shooter tutor we put on the net. So I'll take you up on that for sure.
Good stuff as always, my friend. Hey, Jamie, thanks so much. I'll see you in studio on Thursday, my friend.
All right, thanks to all you guys for going in there today and making this happen. I appreciate it.
That is the great Jamie Rivers, of course, takes time out of his Monday to call in. He's in studio, and it's awesome. I want to get right into just a few minutes before we get to our segments about Toast Dispatch. Just real quickly, you know, again, we use the word parody account. What was the reasoning behind starting it up, just for fun? Is it something you wanted to do? I mean, I think we're going to get Nick Jr. here. Is that we do live in a world where social media and apps and phones are dominated by a younger generation. So go ahead and tell us tell us the thought process behind Toast Dispatch.
Well, it started around back early 2013, I want to say. It was during Halak and Elliott were the two goalies for the Blues at the time. And as you know, Nick Senior here is a goalie. He's got strong opinions on goalies. And
well, we know is that he's not very a very good goalie, according to Jamie.
According to Jamie, please. So loosely using the term goalie then.
Okay.
So he gets up there, and we're
neither was Halak. So, but I'm pumped.
Hey, perfect. Okay. This is gonna go great. Then you're gonna love us. So we get up here, and we're looking at Halak, and we always thought that Elliott was the better goalie. We liked Elliott. We liked the style he played better. More teams seemed to play better in front of him, just like we talked about earlier. Alan Hutton playing in front of the guys. But so we started that, and it became a way to kind of mock Halak. And we kind of looked at STL Today and saw, hey, Rutherford's a fantastic writer. I've got to say, I love his stuff on The Athletic. He does a fantastic job with it. But back then, we kind of thought he was giving Halak a free pass. And we just kind of thought, hey, we need another viewpoint on this. So that's when we started Toast Dispatch, and we just started making these parody articles and started out as the website. We didn't have the Twitter back then. And so on the website, he'd go on there, and he'd write up these articles. You can find them on the website, Toast Dispatch. There was a lot of good stuff on there, but we wrote off on that. And then expanded to Twitter, and we kind of got into Cardinals a little bit too. But it all came from Halak was the founding moment for this.
And he was Toast, so that's kind of where
we're toasting.
Going.
Yeah, we were toasting him, so there was the Toast Dispatch into the Post Dispatch.
No, that's good. Now, I think the cool thing about this is you guys do this together?
Yeah.
Kind of a father-son labor of love, yeah. Labor of pain. I mean, there's never any arguments or throwing things at one another, is there?
There are very many of those.
Very many of those, okay. Little happens. Differences of opinion. Gary doesn't know anything about that. Him and his son are dead lockstep, like you wouldn't believe, all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, all the time. Oh, it's good. I like it. I don't know. Social media is such a big thing. I mean, I went to Gary and I, same age, went to school together, played hockey with Butter in high school. He's a little bit younger, not much. 2 years?
Just 1 year.
Is it 1 year?
Yeah.
That's right. So, you know, we're in that age, and Nick Senior, how old are you?
56.
Okay, so, you know, we're all that generation where this is all, like, just happening so fast and new. But social media is such a quick way for fans to kind of use their fandom. Twitter is it's funny. There ought to be something to filter yourself a little bit, but that is kind of also what makes it great. Do you find
a blessing and a curse?
Yeah. Do you find exactly? Is it that's what I was going to ask you? Do you think it's more of a blessing or a curse?
It's definitely, as far as like news reporting goes, it is the fastest way to get information from anyone. You've got reporters, you've got official accounts, and they're all getting out information way faster than you could find it if you're watching the news or looking at websites, things like that. But I also think it's a great way to interact with everyone. And I don't think there's ever been this amount of interaction between a fan base before. You'd have to go to, like, say, if it was 20 years ago, you go to, like, a meetup or something, or you go to a game and you talk to Blues fans there. But now you've just got the whole pulse of the Blues on Facebook and Twitter and all that. And you can really just get a feeling for what the whole fan base feels about.
Hey, this is a great lead into something we got going on today or this weekend.
Yeah.
What do we have, Nick? Something big on Twitter?
We've been doing, if we got a second here, we've been doing the STL Blues Twitter Cup. And what that is it's a bracket that we put out, and we're letting the fans vote on. We've taken 16 of the best Blues Twitter accounts, and we're letting fans then vote on that round by round.
Under 70,000. I say that because Tony X wasn't in.
Tony X was excluded.
We wanted him in, but he had too many followers.
Yeah. Gary wasn't in either. He's got too many followers. Oh, he's big. Yeah, he's big in Japan. And
that and for a couple other reasons.
Gary's big in Japan and Brazil.
Can we do a live update?
We can. Sure, go ahead.
Right now, I don't know if get the phone out, because we have a Twitter poll that's ending the second round.
Okay.
And we were toe-to-toe with Jeff Jones. Might be a competitor of yours.
He's on the radio. We love competitors.
You like competitors, okay.
We do. We have no issue. Like, we've talked about it before. The other podcasts we think are great. It's just good for us. And, you know, Butter's got a problem with it, if you can't tell. Like, he's a competitive dude, man. Like, he doesn't like any of them.
All right.
No.
Jeff's a good guy, but we're toe-to-toe. It was 50-50% on the poll. And right now, on a live update, it's 51-49, and we're losing. So can we have a call right now to...
Well, by the time this comes out tonight, it's going to be over. That's the podcast thing.
It took me about a half second to figure that out. I was like,
yeah, we're not live, Big Cat. So
I'm going to try anyway. Vote for us.
If you make it, vote for you. Well, hey, we appreciate you coming in and being a part of this. I know you guys are big Blues fans, and I know we're going to have you sticking around and doing some stuff. Going to go right in now to our good friend Dennis Minner with his report that he does every week live from Minner Arena. Well, I'm hoping to have a date knocked down here real soon. We're going to be recording live from there. So everybody enjoys this take from a fan and a guy that's just having a good time with all this. So take it away, Dennis.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back. This is Dennis Minner live in Minner Arena. And, man, it feels like it's been forever. It's been a couple weeks. We had New Year's. We've had Christmas. Had an amazing time with family. Hope you guys did, too. But also had the flu. And I tell you what, Jim jokes around about me being a kid. My wife can now verify for a week and a half. I was not only a kid, but I was a big baby. With 103 temperature, and man, I was just not feeling too hot. But I tell you why else I don't feel too hot. Same reason the guys have probably been talking about on the podcast, the same things we've been talking about on Twitter. Something's wrong with this Blues team. Man, I just don't know what it is. Can't put my finger on it. The guys are clearly not having a good time. They're not gelling together. And I'm starting to hear the same rhetoric from Coach Yeo almost every single day after a loss. One of the things that everyone wants to talk about is this supposed goalie controversy. I'm just not seeing it. From a fan's perspective, man, I mean, it's one or the other on any given day. One thing I have noticed is I just don't feel like the team has been fighting for Allen like they had been for Hutton well up until tonight's game or this afternoon's game. Hutton had been on absolute fire. But again, I can't necessarily say that I would throw him in front of Allen. I think Allen is our goalie. I think when the team is doing well, I think Allen does well. And I think that's a good and bad with Allen. I think he seems to be one that can get his confidence shaken. But it's clear we've seen frustration from these guys. Last week we saw Allen clearly frustrated at the end of a game. We saw Brodziak here a couple of days ago slamming his stick through the ice. And I don't have a problem with that. I want to see the team frustrated. I want to see them irritated when they're playing bad. Yeah, we've still got some injuries, and I'm so tired of hearing, you know, about Schwartz. Look, He's out, but it should not, in my opinion, have had this much an impact on this team. There is no direction right now. There's no leadership. But guess what? I've still got hope. Hey, right now, well, let me rephrase. The one thing that I am concerned about is the Blues have played, as we all know, more games than anyone in the NHL. Right now, they're sitting at 45 games. If we brought all the teams up to that level, to 45 games, the Blues could potentially be sitting in about 14th or 15th place right now. So there is a concern there. But as we've heard, Schwartz is doing well. He'll be coming back soon, and I'm looking forward to that. But I want to take the last part of this podcast to talk about some things that I see going on Twitter, especially. You all follow me at Twitter, at Minner Arena. Thank you for letting me hit over 2,000 followers now. That's been awesome. But holy crap, people can say some of the most vile, just idiotic things I've ever seen in my life on Twitter, name calling and people cursing me out. And that's just my own mom talking. I'm totally kidding. My mom, God bless her soul, would never do anything like that. But I did the other day after we played the Predators and they beat us. I did a poll and from my Minner Arena account, and I said, who are the worst fans? All right, not the most hated team, but who has the worst fans in all of hockey? And I gave three choices: Nashville, Chicago, or other. Hands down, Nashville wins. Nashville won 51%. I've gotten to the point where I can accept Chicago fans bashing and talking trash and all that. You know why? Because they have cups to back it up. I don't care if they're a bandwagon fan or not. They have the cups. We've got to respect that. But Nashville Predators, if any of you fans are listening right now, you don't have squat. So shut your mouths. Keep your tweets to yourself. Carrie Underwood isn't there anymore. All right. So you guys have nothing else to go on. You've made it to the championship once, and guess what? You didn't win a cup. I don't care if you won a game or two or not. You didn't win the cup. All right, so keep your little junior college chants to yourself and all that, because your team sucks and all that good stuff. But it's absolutely driving me nuts, all right? But on the other side, let's at least be civil to one another. Let's have fun. Let's chirp. But let's know where that line is. And because, man, I see it myself. I'm guilty of it, too. But, man, let's have fun. Remember, we're not on this team. All right. I love the Blues. My gosh, I've turned my basement into a shrine. But the fact is, I'm not on the team. They don't impact my paycheck. It is just a sport, as much as I love it. And I will always bleed blue. But everyone just take a deep breath, all right? So until next week, hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Minner Arena, M-I-N-N-E-R, Minner Arena, and let's go Blues!
Great stuff as always from Mr. Minner and his Live from Minner Arena segment. If you haven't checked out Minner Arena, just Google the thing. It's awesome. I mean, I don't know. That's a man cave. I mean, that is something. I mean, can you imagine having the fellows over sitting around the rink, having some cold ones, watching some hockey, playing a little Czechs hockey? All your memorabilia, good stuff.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You'd put a poker table in the middle of it. I know that.
It's already in there.
Jim, you gotta tell me, what's a Minner?
What's a Minner?
Yeah,
it's Dennis Minner.
Dennis,
that's his last
Minner.
Name.
You're kidding?
No,
I'm an idiot. I thought it was Minner. Thought it was Minner Arena Cave, as in a miner goes in a cave.
No.
I always thought
no.
The whole time you said
no.
Minner. I'm like,
Nah, see,
that's not why you're an idiot.
See, you've came here today and you've learned something. See,
a whole bunch.
You're taking a few pucks off the head, according to Jamie.
I stink at goalie. We all knew that.
Well, no, we didn't know that. Now we know. Thanks to Jamie. I tell you what, you better know is you got to get your St. Louis Game Time magazine. Again, the affectionate rag that we call it. Put a little call to action out this week that sales. They're calling for some sales to pick up. Guys, I'm telling you, Gary is the example of this. Once you buy one, you will have to have it. Kind of like what my friend Nick Jr. over here was saying earlier. They take a different view on some things that is going to make you go, huh? And whether you agree with it or not, it's great reading. It's great material. It's just things that make you think a little bit, not stuff you're going to see in a typical newspaper. Make sure you pick up a St. Louis Game Time or you check them out. You can subscribe and get it in your inbox like I do, because I unfortunately don't get to go over to too many games because I'm busy at night with my kids. I'm not in that mode yet. But the reality of it is I love the reading. I love the material. Guys take a lot of time to do this. Make sure you give an opportunity. They'll have their vendors set up. You can follow them on Twitter. Let's hear from Bradley and see what he's got for us this week.
Hi, this is Bradley with the Game Time segment of the podcast. Thanks for listening. I've actually had some people reach out to me recently saying that they had not read the paper that we put out for every Blues Home game, and they have sampled it thanks to the podcast. So I appreciate everyone who's listening and who has sampled our paper that we sell outside every Blues Home game. If you are not in St. Louis and are interested in trying it, give me an email. Send me an email at gtbradley@gmail.com. gtbradley, all one word, gtbradley, B-R-A-D-L-E-E, @gmail.com. So the Blues just wrapped up a hectic weekend on the East Coast. Saturday at Philadelphia. Sunday at Washington. And now they have a day off before one game, and then their CBA-mandated break, I guess they call it the bye week now, where there's 5 days they can't step on the ice. So it's almost like a second All-Star break, which the other All-Star break's coming up not too long. So January is a much more manageable schedule for the Blues. They've had a pretty hectic schedule. They've played 4 or 5 games than most every other team in the NHL. There's some that have played as many as they have, but there's some that have played 4 or 5 less. So I prefer that. There are other years where the Blues have gotten to this point and they had played 5 less, which meaning that their schedule down the stretch was much busier. You know what? If you happen to play more games in November, December, and you can take more days off in January, February, March, all for it. Definitely all for it. I think that helps with injuries. I think that helps with keeping guys fresh and producing better performances. So let's talk for a second about Philadelphia and Washington. Philly, they got blown out of the water fast. And I know this is going to come up, and I'm not sure what I'm going to say, so I'll just kind of ramble here. Hey, Jake Allen was in net, and they got their asses kicked. And then Carter Hutton was in net against a better team, and they almost won, should have won, could have won in Washington. I don't get it. I just don't get it. If anyone says that they play harder in front of Carter, it's asinine. They're professionals. They, you know, a win is a win. 2 points is 2 points. And it's not like you can take a game off because of one starter in net and then play harder when a different guy's in net. And here lately, Carter Hutton has started 4 out of the last 5 games. I'll get to what I think is going to happen Tuesday, but let's finish talking about the weekend. They looked unprepared. They looked slow. They looked disinterested in Philadelphia, and I don't know why. Braden Schenn coming back, playing his first game. He's obviously one of the impact players on the team. He's a team leader. Seems very popular on the team. Wouldn't you want to help that guy shove it up the Flyers' butts? Wouldn't you want to shove it in their face? Wouldn't you want to show them, hey, look, we're a much better team than you guys after we made this trade? They didn't act like that at all. What was it? Mike Yeo pulled the goalie with like 5 minutes to play on a power play and then kind of kept him out the whole time. And I kind of made the joke on Twitter, the Game Time Twitter account. I said, you know, the players are not exactly making the case for Jake Allen to get some much more playing time when they are playing better defensively with Jake Allen not in net, with no one in net. I was just trying to be funny, but I think some people took me seriously. I just don't understand. There are games where you expect a big performance from the Blues, and it hasn't happened. And other games where you say, okay, this other team that they're playing is going to be pretty difficult. I don't think they're going to win. And all of a sudden, they put their best effort. You can't, you know, this is the St. Louis Blues, and there has been a historic trend of playing up to opponents and then playing down to opponents. Play the same game every night. What the hell? You know what you do, you know what to do, you know what the game plan is, you know what the system is, you know what your job is. Do your job. You know, the meme on the internet, you had one job. You had one job. Play hard. Play hard. Play your role. Play do what you're expected to do.
they didn't do it, and they got blown out. I mean, they got embarrassed in Philadelphia, which, you know, then you say, okay, it's one of those back-to-back games, one of several this year, and they play better in the second game of the back-to-back, which has happened more than once. So they go into Washington, they get the first goal, they have a lead going into the third period. It's the first game they've lost with the lead going into the third period all season. I think they're 20-0. I don't fault them for losing that game, though. Overtime, man, was super exciting. Tage Thompson gets a breakaway, puts it off the outside of the post. They had a couple of their chances. I mean, but the game-tying goal, a shot from Gunnarsson from the point, hits Alexander Ovechkin in the arm, and it bounces down off the ice and past Holtby, who had no idea where the puck was coming from and which way it was going. No goalie is going to know that. It was literally going to go 4 or 5 feet wide, hits Ovechkin, and just magically pops in the net. Now, granted, I know the saying, you make your own luck. You play hard, you put yourself in the right position to make a play. You stay hard-nosed, you keep at it, and luck will happen for you. I get that. But that was freaking lucky. Come on. It was going well wide, and it goes in. But then they get unlucky with a couple of skirmishes in front of the net, in front of Holtby. And then, like I said, the breakaway with Tage Thompson, who I think I joked on Twitter, it was such a nice play, maybe he should get credit for half a goal. And I did like seeing, I got to admit, I did like seeing when he went to the bench, they showed on TV, him going to the bench, and he slammed his stick when he got off the ice. That's awesome. The guy knows he should have scored. He's not happy. He's driven. He's motivated. He wants to contribute to this team. He knew that was a huge goal to take the lead, and they didn't get it. So, overtime, I think there was maybe a penalty or two missed, but, you know, the Blues could have been called for too many men on the ice. They didn't call it. There was a slash that was not called against Washington. I think it all washed out. And there were some amazing scoring chances. That overtime was entertaining. And after it was over, I said, you know what? I don't feel bad that they got 1 point. I don't know if they deserved 2 points. They could have gotten 2 points. I don't know if they deserved them. 1 point was pretty good, and I was super entertained by the way that game ended. I didn't feel that bad. Washington is a hell of a team. They should contend for the Stanley Cup again from the Eastern Conference. Okay, I know they've choked in the playoffs. I know they choked in the playoffs last year against Pittsburgh, who ended up winning the whole thing. I get it. But maybe this might be a year that things break differently for that team. We say that every year for Washington, but they're so talented. The only complaint is giving up a power play goal to Alexander Ovechkin on that left faceoff dot. They call it Ovechkin's office for a reason. And literally every time, the last four games against Washington, I can remember this year, the two this year, two last year, maybe before that, he almost always scores a goal on the power play against the Blues from that very spot. Every time. They watch film, right? They've seen him. I mean, how many power play goals has he gotten from that spot on the ice, on the dot, near the dot? It's amazing. And he just kind of drifted that, and he raised his stick saying, hey, the office is open. And they got him the puck, and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. How you can't be better prepared for that is beyond me. Literally, that's my biggest complaint. Okay, Tuesday night, Florida's in town, then they have a nice break. I'm not going to throw out numbers about the goaltending situation right now, except for recent playing time. Carter Hutton has started 4 of the last 5. He didn't get the start in Philadelphia. They planned on giving him the start in Washington, which seems better. The Capitals are clearly better. They gave Hutton the harder matchup. Was that to boost Allen's confidence? I don't know. Was that because they felt more confident in Hutton playing against a better team? It's conceivable. He started 4 of the last 5. And they knew that going into the weekend when they gave Hutton the 3 starts in a row before the weekend, because they knew they were going to split that up. They knew he was going to get 4 or 5 no matter what. And they gave him the Sunday game against the Capitals. Carter Hutton is the starting goaltender for the Blues right now. And all you need is the proof. If it turns out differently and I'm wrong, I will admit it next week. Okay? But whoever is the starting goaltender on Tuesday night against the Panthers, there's a day off of rest. They were able to travel at a decent hour on Sunday after an afternoon game. So they got home on Sunday night at a reasonable hour and got a good night's sleep in their own beds. Monday a day off, or maybe a practice day. But, you know, a normal day between games, and then you don't play for several days after Tuesday. So it's conceivable that whoever the goaltender is who they think is number one, the coaching staff, is going to start Tuesday night. Is there any sign that it's going to be anyone other than Carter Hutton? Maybe the contract for Jake Allen, maybe that he's been the starter, maybe that they haven't really named number one in the last week or two, or that no one's declared that Hutton is the number one, or that it's a full legit timeshare, whatever. I know Allen started a lot of games. You know, early in the season, I think he struggled, and he was getting wins. And everyone said it was about the performance. It was about the results. Don't worry about the save percentage that was close to 90%. Don't worry about the goals against, which was like 260, 2.6, 2.7. It's all about the wins. And then things turn south, and his measurables get better. His save percentage goes up in the 92s, 920s. His goals against comes down to around 2. And they can't score more than 2 goals in a game, and he allows 3, and bam, there's a loss. I know that the goaltender can't control how the guys play in front of him. I don't think there's anything to how the guys play in front of a goalie. It's different from one goalie to the other, even though there was accusations of that when it was Allen and Elliott, that Elliott got better play in front of him than Allen did. What is it that Hutton, does he like buy more donuts for the team than Allen does so they play harder for Hutton? No way. Here's the thing. If you want to know who the starting goaltender is right now at this point in the season for the St. Louis Blues, check to see who starts on Tuesday night. And I got to think it's going to be Hutton. And I'm not rooting for Hutton. I'm not rooting against Allen. I know there are people who have said that I have a thing against Jake Allen. I don't. But when something's not working, you got to change it up. You got to try something different. You know, that's like saying, oh, they didn't score any goals the last couple games. Maybe we should just leave the lines as they are and maybe they'll work themselves out. No, they get aggressive and they find chemistry and find different matchups and find guys who are playing hard. And that's what's happening in goal. And to blindly say that Jake Allen just needs more time to figure things out and to settle in. No, he's got to earn the playing time. That's the bottom line. Hey, thanks for listening. This is Bradley with St. Louis Game Time. You can find us online at stlouisgametime.com. Find our fan run paper, 24 pages, content stuff you can't find on our internet site, on our website, or on our Twitter or Facebook page. Find us outside every game, the northeast corner of 14th and Clark. That's where Santa is. Jeff patrols the 14th Street doors over there by the Peabody Opera House. And then Amy is near the garage. If you're walking up from Union Station, find her. Every game, we're out at 5:30, 24 pages. It's a fan run tradition that will be 23 years old later this month. So give us a try. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. And let's go Blues. Back to you guys.
Great stuff as always from my friend and yours, Brad Lee, with the St. Louis Game Time Report. Again, make sure you check out that wonderful rag that they sell out in front of the Scott Trade Center. You can find them at 4 different locations. They're spread out around conveniently to try to catch all the people walking up. But again, it'll be the best few bucks you ever spent. And once you get one, you'll feel naked without it when you go to a game. So again, that's the St. Louis Game Time Report. Gentlemen, I had a great time today. Butter, thanks for all your contributions as usual.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, I
love, you know, getting that 2 seconds here.
I know, it's good.
Throw something out there.
I know, and you know, but you know, you'd think when you named a segment after him, On the Bench with Butter, you'd think he'd take an active role in it and jump in and say, "Can I speak up here?"
The three of us have been friends for a long time. You're surprised?
No, let me before we go, I got to tell you, Butter had an MO back in the day. The best part of this is a great story, by the way, and I'll end with this one. Butter had this knack for, he was a busy guy, like when he was doing his thing and he had all this stuff going on. He had like multiple groups of friends. There was us, there were some younger guys. He was doing this, doing that. He was reffing a ton of hockey too, like back in the day. He was still playing hockey too. So we'd go out, you know, and Butter'd be like, "Well, where are you guys going to be?" And I'm like, "Well, we're going to be here." You know, when you say you're going to the landing, that means what, 10 places, right? Mm-hmm. Butter had this knack for it'd be about midnight, 12:30. You'd be somewhere. This is way before cell phones, texting, all that stuff. You turn around and there he is. Just showed up.
They did it.
Hey, guys.
New Orleans.
Did it all. Okay, so we go to New Orleans for a golf trip. Butter can't go with us when we leave. He has to fly down. Rams are in a Super Bowl against New England. We decide to go to New Orleans. instead of going straight to our trip down in Biloxi, Butter's flying into New Orleans. We let him know that we're going to New Orleans. Okay. I mean, if you've ever been to New Orleans, we're in the French Quarter. We've probably been to 30 bars at this juncture. We settle into this corner bar off the main drag, just a place to go sit and watch the Super Bowl. Now, mind you, we have two cars.
We have three cars and two designated drivers, and my car was supposed to have a designated driver.
So we don't know what we're going to do.
And we forgot.
So we don't know what we're going to do.
So we have no driver for our car.
It's about the Vinatieri kicks the field goal. We are all devastated. We are starting to walk out when we realize, how are we going to get to Biloxi, one of these cars, because there's no way somebody's driving this car to Biloxi. We walk out, and as we walk out, a cab pulls up, and out steps who?
Butter. I'm not kidding.
To the rescue.
This guy is unbelievable.
And as I got off the plane was when the field goal was being kicked.
Right.
It's the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen.
He gets out of the cab. I looked at him. I handed the keys and said, let's go.
Is this Seinfeld kind of sidling kind
yes,
of thing?
Yes, he's sidling. He's a sidler. And the thing is,
here,
again.
Hold these tic-tacs. So you know what year this is.
This is way before like texting and all that stuff. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah, we didn't have phones.
I mean, a few people might have had one. But I had one, like a bag phone or a big old Zach Morris phone. It was unbelievable.
It was pretty.
I'll never forget. But that's Butter's MO. So that's why sometimes, you know, he's here just hanging out, having a good time. So anyway, hey, great stuff as always. Special thanks to our social media partners. Can't thank our Facebook groups enough for spreading the show. At the end of the day, they're the ones that have helped us grow. Art City Sports, Mick Light, good friend of Jamie's, I know, ever since he's jumped on board. The numbers have just continued to climb through the roof. Thanks so much to him, of course. St. Louis Blues Hockey Memes, our good friend and yours, Dennis Minner, Minner Arena. St. Louis Blues Fans Unite, another great account that's been with us for a long, long time. Thank you. Our newest member, Everything STL Sports, thank you so much for sharing our stuff and being a part of our St. Louis Blues podcast. InnovatedCompanies.com, give them an opportunity, of course, for everything you do. Tommy Brown Tax Resolutions on the bench with Butter. Don't forget Tommy for hey, lots going on right now with you, isn't there?
Oh yeah, that's why I haven't really watched a lot lately. I've been kind of busy with the new tax laws that have come out. A
lot of reading probably for you.
Yeah, a lot of reading, a lot of studying up
here.
Some loopholes that I'm trying to figure out.
I thought we weren't supposed to be using the term loophole. I thought we were supposed to be using tax code.
No, that's a loophole.
Okay. As he shakes his head. Hey, so Butter Air, I'm going to get you involved in the show real quick before we go. Are we all screwed or not?
No, I think we're all going to be great.
Oh, wow, that's good stuff.
How about my S Corp?
Oh, it's going to be great.
Okay, I'm good.
Wow, okay, so hey.
You need to come see me, though. I'll make it great. You can't just have an S-Corp and it just be great. I've got to come see me.
Well, and again, tax planning is what he does. And again, there's a better way to utilize your income that can help your business rather than just give it away. That's why you want to get a hold of Tommy Brown. TommyBrownTaxResolutions.com. Special thanks again to LineUpMedia.fm and all their support. Couldn't do the show without them. Randy and Stephanie Green over at InnovatedCompanies.com. Thank you so much for your continued support. To my in-studio host today, Coach Henson, Coach Butter from the McKendree Bearcats University Hockey Club. And, of course, in-studio, Nick Jr. Pavlovitz. God, I didn't even screw that up today from the Toast Dispatch. Thank you, gentlemen. Nick, I'm sorry. I had no idea Jamie was going to roast you like that. You're the one. Hey, listen.
Jamie's great.
I know. He is. He's good stuff. Hey, thanks, everybody out there. BluesNHLPodcast.com. Check us out. We'll see you on Thursday. Let's go, Blues.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.